The Dana Cortez Show podcast begins now.
Every single person has gotten a parking ticket. Every one of us. Am I right?
Dude.
Am I right?
More than I'd like to count.
Okay, what if I told you that you could pay your parking ticket with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?
Ooh.
What the It's the WTF story here on the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A, a.k.a. Crunchy Peanut Butter.
Anyone with unpaid I'm thinking Fargo, because this happened in Alaska.
Fargo? Fargo's in North Dakota there, geographer. Can't even think of the word.
Anyway, nice. It's cold and nobody lives there.
Good,
you know what? Don't try to correct me when you can't even say a word.
I can't even say the damn word.
Anyone?
I almost called you a geologist.
Anyone with unpaid parking fines at the University of Alaska Anchorage campus has the option to reduce or cover the cost of the ticket with peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. What a lip-smacking offer. The reason the university is doing this is they want to combat student hunger. There's a lot of students that don't have enough money for just the basics, like bread and maybe a little ham or cheese or something. So they say that the food is going to go to students in need. They don't actually want a sandwich. They want jars of peanut butter, jelly, or other food.
This is an amazing idea, and it's great because it combats hunger. And it's like there's two people winning, and the city of El Paso should also consider this.
Oh, Anthony,
along with the city
of
Scottsdale, Arizona.
Oh, really? Why
Bear County in San Antonio, Texas. All right, because maybe I have tickets in all 4 states.
Why don't you consider slowing your down?
How about this? Your car probably does 40.
Dude, no. Dude, what?
Anthony drives like a little mini car.
I drive a Fiat, and if you've ever done 90 in a Fiat going down a highway, it's close to skydiving. You're like a little rock skidding across a pond.
Let me move on, y'all, to tell you how they're breaking this down. So officials say a 16-ounce jar of peanut butter or jelly is a $10 credit. You donate 3 jars, you get $35 credit. And if you donate 5 jars, you get a $60 credit. Now, they say it has to be unopened, obviously. It's got to be, you know, either your favorite, cashew, almond, peanut, crunchy, smooth, whatever.
Honey crunchy. Honey
crunchy. Is your
like honey crunchy?
I need a little nut kick in my peanut butter and jelly.
Don't you guys do anything with that.
Just accept it for what it is.
Like a little nut.
No, stop. Don't you do anything with that. Let that sit there. All right? Let that sit there.
You let it sit there. I'm washing it off.
I will, but it's on the top of my mouth.
Oh, it just got worse. That is so bad. Shout out to the University of Alaska Anchorage for combating student hunger. Make donations not just during the holiday, year round, please. That's your WTF story here on the Dana Cortez Show. I, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Today's girl talk on the Dana Cortez Show. This woman is obsessed with her boyfriend's ex-girlfriend.
What?
First of all, let me introduce myself. My name is Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
And I would be lying to you if I didn't admit right now that, yeah, I've creeped on a couple of DJ Automatic's ex's pages here and there. But it's been a long time that I've done anything like that. There was a moment that I was a bit obsessed. And I was like, what is she doing?
So in other words, you identify with this woman.
Yeah, y'all admit it, a little bit.
I think a lot of people lurk just out of like curiosity. Like, I've lurked. Who doesn't lurk?
Anthony, you've lurked on one of your girlfriend's exes?
You got to see what they were into before you arrived into the picture. Especially, like, if she doesn't delete him off the timeline, that always makes me a little worrisome. I don't want him on her timeline. Like, I believe if you break up with a person, you should delete them from your account.
So you can't be friends with an ex?
I'm telling you, you could be friends, but just delete all the pictures.
Yeah, you should delete them. Because people might get confused because all of a sudden there's pictures of her and Anthony and then there's some other guy last year and like, I don't like that either.
I think that's ridiculous. I think that's kind of controlling both you and Anthony. I'll make a note of that and we'll visit that another day. Right now, let's talk about this girl again. Being obsessed with her boyfriend's ex-girlfriend, stalking her on Instagram, on Facebook. She just can't stop looking at her timeline and her pictures. Phones are already blowing up on this one. So line 5, have you ever done this and why?
Yes, I have. I do it all the time. I will do it till the day you die. I will do it if we're married. I will do it if we're divorced. I will do it if you die. I'm going to do it.
Why? Yes. Why do you want to stalk the ex?
We just need to know what's going on. We need to cover all the bases. We need to make sure what is going on with this man.
You're already with this person. What do you care about their ex?
Because the ex will always have something special with your boo, and there's always a chance that he might go back. Because men are stupid, and they like to go back.
So it has everything to do with you being insecure, basically. That's what it is?
I do it because I don't trust my man around other people.
And what do you think of your man's ex?
She ain't
You know what makes me happy about all this? That I don't feel crazy. Because obviously, I'm not the only person that's done this. Now, have I been obsessive? Maybe a little bit. But not to the point where it's not only ruining my life, it could possibly ruin my relationship. This woman says she is starting to get on her man's nerves because she's checking his phone. She's going through the ex's stuff. You know what
you
I mean?
You haven't like, even told the craziest part about the whole story.
What?
What's that?
Automatic?
She said that she's created a fake profile to talk to his ex.
Why are you throwing that part out there? I thought we were going to leave that part out. She is pretending to be a guy on Instagram, and she's talking to her man's ex.
Yeah, there's multiple levels of obsession going on here. And I mean, well, she's going to stir up her own problems. Like, she's creating her own little whirlwind.
This isn't something, though, that is easy to deal with, but it is something that we can all relate to. Everybody in this room just admitted that we've all done a little lurking. We've all done a little creeping.
I never said I lurked.
Automatic, you've never lurked. Never.
I never admitted to it.
Okay. Well, we'll come back with the three reasons that you are obsessed with your partner's ex and how to deal with them when we come back. It's Girl Talk on the Dana Cortez Show.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Obsessed with your partner's ex to the point you've created a fake profile pretending to be a man to talk to his ex-girlfriend. Welcome to Girl Talk. It's the crazy edition here on the Dana Cortez Show. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
And honestly, girl, I know you hit me up and you're trusting us with this. I don't think you're crazy. I just think you're going overboard. And you need to check yourself because you're with him now. You're with this man now. And I do understand what it's like to wonder about his ex or her ex. Anthony, you admitted to lurking a little bit. It's not that you were obsessed. You just wanted to know who she was hanging with before you.
I think mine was like just normal lurking. But with this lady, I wonder what happened to her in her previous relationship that has her so insecure and shook. Like, there's something else going on and this man is paying the price for it. She's going to lose him if she keeps doing it.
So that's the thing. She said that's why she contacted the Dana Cortez Show, because she's like, you know what? He's warning me. If you don't stop going through my phone, if you don't stop checking who I'm talking to just because I spent an evening with someone or I'm friends with a girl doesn't mean I was with her.
She's going through his phone?
Oh,
that's a big deal. When you start going through people's phone, that's like that's a level up of being. It's just crazy.
No. The biggest thing is if she's created a fake profile, she's pretending to be a man she can talk to this
woman.
That's
like 10 levels above crazy.
That's like too much. But there are reasons why we obsess over an ex, and some are normal. You know, there's normal, good old-fashioned, you're worried that they may get back together. Do you know what I mean about that?
Like, yeah, it's just human nature to be a little bit jealous and a little bit curious. Yeah.
Well, earlier, we had this call.
The ex will always have something special with your boo.
But you can't change that. You have to think about the special things you're doing now. You can't focus on what he or she used to do. Something else is you're afraid things were better with the other person. Life was better. Your current partner was happier with their ex.
Well, if that was the situation, then they would probably still be with them.
Exactly, DJ Automatic. So stop obsessing over
that. That's not always the case. Some people settle. Like, there are some girls out there who I've been a rebound boyfriend where she's gone with me and just dated me just because she's not ready to be alone yet. So, I mean, that there's legit
like fear maybe
right
her
there.
Man didn't want her.
Yeah.
And like, she's like, oh, I can move on. And it's not that you're a bad boyfriend. It's just that she wasn't ready for all this.
Yep.
She wasn't over it.
That's a real fear.
Oh, now you're not helping. She's going to keep you being this weird guy online.
I think this relationship is done. Like, she ain't ready to be in a relationship. Ooh. That's just what I feel.
But number one reason that you're obsessed with your partner's ex is that you're comparing yourself to him or her. Is she smarter than me? Is she more beautiful than I am? Is she better when it comes to sexy time? If you keep obsessing over those things,
you'll make yourself crazy.
And you'll ruin
your
relationship.
Well, this girl's already crazy.
She's in her own head. There's still time. There's still time to fix it, but you really got to step back and ask yourself, can I make this relationship work? Because he's either going to be faithful or he's not. Give him the opportunity to be faithful. Don't accuse him of doing something that he's not doing and push him away.
Let him fail on his own.
Automatic, that is not the right way to end this. Don't forget, ladies, his ex,
she ain't f***ing.
Don't ever forget that, all right? So if you've been obsessed with your partner's ex, boyfriend, or girlfriend, did you stalk them and why? Hit us up on social media now. Dana Cortez Show on Facebook, at Dana Cortez on Instagram. And we'll be right back.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
A man almost died after a parasite swam up his sword. Do you understand what I'm telling you? It's a Dana Cortez Show. This is your WTF story. I'm Dana Cortez.
DJ Automatic.
I go by Anthony A.
I don't even have one of those. And I feel for this guy. Nope. I can't even imagine. Let's start by assuring everyone. The man is okay. Okay? And he's on the mend right now. But it's highly unlikely he'll ever go for a swim again in a lake. And I bet you won't either after you hear this. Right around October of last year, 32-year-old man James Michael, he began experiencing a loss of sensation in both legs.
Oh, no.
He's a bicyclist. So he's like, well, maybe I'm riding too hard. Something's going on. But then, when even climbing stairs became difficult, he went to go see a doctor who sent James home with some antibiotics. A week later, he was feeling worse. Michael went back. This time he hit up the hospital, where further tests revealed his immune system was attacking his central nervous system. He was immediately placed on a 6-month course of steroids, but the question remained, what was the underlying cause of James's condition? By Christmas, they had the answer. It was schistosomiasis, an infection that's usually found in tropical regions. So it happened a year before when he was on vacation. He went swimming and boating in a lake, and that's where a parasite worm swam up his penis.
That hurts a lot worse than when you get soap in the tip.
What is that?
Guys know what I'm talking about.
No, you might be on your own on that one, because you got a lot to unpack, dog. You don't ever just wash. You got a lot to explain yourself with.
You never gotten soap?
We'll get off of that.
I don't want to have this.
We'll go back to the man with the.
Right now. Yeah. Let's go
back to the man with the reptile dysfunction. Let's talk about him. What's going on?
Reptile dysfunction.
Yeah. What's going on with him? Right
a reptile,
here?
You mean?
No, it's a worm. You didn't get that?
Come on, dog. He got soap in his ears.
Schistosomiasis occurs when the worm swims up on there, lays its egg, which then hatch and spread throughout the body where the immune system attacks them. So you're telling me that this mama worm swam in there and laid a whole bunch of eggs right there?
It's like a little reverse pregnancy.
James had to use a wheelchair and then crutches for 7 months, right up until the worms and eggs had been killed. It could be a decade before James is 100% free of all the debilitating effects.
Oh.
God, this whole thing just sounds so painful and terrifying.
He wishes he would have got soap in his dick.
All right, y'all, it's the Dana Cortez Show. That's your WTF story. Ouch. We'll be back with more coming up in less than 5 minutes from right now.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
The debate right now on the Dana Cortez Show, one of my favorite times of the week, and this is serious. Do you guys remember last week when it was National Raisin Bran Day? Don't ask me why it was National Raisin Bran Day, but it was. And Anthony A. said this.
When it comes to Raisin Brands, I'm more of a Frosted Flakes guy.
What?
Shout
That's
out to
not
Tony.
Raisin
That's
brand.
Not Raisin
but
brand,
it's like
Anthony.
The same thing. Frosted Flakes are better. That's all I'm saying. Frosted Flakes and some bananas? Frosted Flakes and some nanners? Give me that.
That sounds gross.
Was that supposed to be Tony the Tiger?
That was.
Oh, that was the worst Tony the Tiger I've ever heard, ever.
That was bad. DJ Automatic is supposed to sound like this.
They're great.
That was really bad. That
it did sound
worst
like that.
Tony the Tiger impression I've ever heard in my life. Back to the topic at hand.
It wasn't that bad.
I started to think that we should really talk about our favorite cereals and get the folks involved. What's the best cereal on the planet?
I'll tell you right now, the best cereal of all time is Peanut Butter Captain Crunch.
What?
One taste of my peanut butter crunch and you'll always come back for more. It's the only peanut butter cereal and it's part of a balanced breakfast. It's to die for.
Not only did your Tony the Tiger suck, your cereal sucks. That's like the generic. It's a Reese's. It's the peanut butter cereal if you're going to eat it. What was that?
No, Dana, this is the OG of peanut butter cereals, and I don't care what it does to the top of your roof of your mouth, okay?
I don't even think they make that cereal anymore. That's how
they still
it
make
is.
It, Dana. And it's still out there because I enjoy it. And it's good both dry and with milk.
You're telling stories. We don't keep cereal in the house.
So this is just the peanut butter Captain. This ain't the Reese's Pieces one, right? This
no.
Isn't the one Dana was talking about?
Yeah, this is the OG of peanut butter
Reese's
cereals.
Peanut butter cereal is the one.
Yeah, dude, that's the one I'm used to anyway.
I never heard of no Captain Crunch one.
That sounds gross.
It does. You know what? I want to open the phone lines. I want to know what is your favorite cereal. If you could only have one cereal for the rest of your life, one box, which one would it be? 833-DANA-SHOW. Go ahead, line two.
It would be, how about we do Cocoa Puffs?
Cocoa Puffs.
Highly underrated cereal right there.
Why do you love Cocoa Puffs so much?
It's because it's just cereal at the beginning and it's chocolate milk at the end.
Hello.
It's the best of both worlds.
It's a two for one.
You know what I did? I put together a list of the top five cereals in America. Sadly, DJ Automatic, your Captain Crunch peanut butter was nowhere to be found.
Stop hating on the greatest cereal of all time.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Last week, we revealed that one of the national days was Raisin Bran Day. So now inside the Dana Cortez Show, we have decided to have a debate on which is the best cereal in America. And Anthony, I have to correct you because you said Frosted Flakes with bananas.
Yeah.
It's Corn Flakes with bananas. That's what people grew up with.
Duh.
But shout out to you if you were able to afford those Frosted Flakes. Hey, they were definitely great. So the best cereal in America, the debate is on. Automatic, your cereal didn't even break the top 100.
What are you talking about?
That Captain Crunch peanut butter stuff, no go. I'd like to take some phone calls before I reveal the top five cereals in America. 833-DANA-SHOW, line four. The best cereal, your favorite of all time.
Frosted shredded wheat.
For real?
Yes.
My nana used to buy those, and I would still put more sugar in them. As if they didn't already have enough sugar. Yes, with all the frosting, I would still sneak. She had a little sugar bowl, and I would take it, and I would put like a ton of sugar in there.
It's like you had to let them soak for like half an hour so they were even edible.
I just want to throw this out there. Of all the cereals, she gonna choose the one they serve at the nursing home? That is not the best cereal. If you're on an island and you get your choice of cereal, you choose Frosted Shredded Wheat.
It's an interesting island that I'm on anyway.
It's a retirement island.
Yeah. All right, so Anthony, what's your favorite cereal, man?
I'm about to go with the classic Cinnamon Toast Crunch. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people say trying to pick their favorite cereal is like picking your favorite child. But for me, this is easy. You have the crunch. You have the cinnamon taste that comes in every single bite. Not to mention, at the end, you get what's better than chocolate milk? Cinnamon-infused milk. Hello.
Kind of like horchata.
Yes.
It's kind of like horchata.
I can't even argue with you because that was a strong second place to my peanut butter Captain Crunch.
That they discontinued?
They didn't discontinue it. It's still out there. You can go to the store right now and buy it.
The best Captain Crunch is the all-berry Captain Crunch, but that's another topic. Anyway, right now, Cinnamon Toast Crunch, best cereal ever. Period.
I'm about to list the top five best cereals in America. Let me take another phone call first. 833-DANA-SHOW. You get one box of cereal. That's it for the rest of your life. Which is it?
Oh, man, that's a hard one. It hurts the roof of your mouth to the Captain Crunch, but besides hurting the roof of your mouth, I would have to say Fruity Pebbles is probably the best, I believe.
Barney, with 64 tasty pieces on your tongue, Pebbles rocks your whole mouth. Yeah. Fruitalicious.
Fruity Pebbles is your favorite. Do you drink the milk after? Do you let it get fruity and sweet?
Oh, that's the best part.
I love talking about this like I really grew up eating this stuff. We had bags and cornflakes, and that was it in my casa house. That was the most, unless I went to go visit my rich aunt. Everybody got that one rich aunt. She had like 12 boxes of cereal. You don't even know. It was like Christmas every day at her house. Now, here's the top five cereals. Coming in at number five, Fruit Loops.
Just follow your nose.
For the fruity taste that shows.
I did love Fruit Loops. Those were really, really good.
You got me to thinking when you said the bags of cereal, and I was thinking about those Tutti Frutti's, because that's what the bag used to be called, Tutti Frutti's.
Tutti Frutti's, that was the generic Fruit Loop. Yeah. Number four, Golden Grahams. Those are my favorite to eat in a cup. I don't know why, but it tastes like burnt cinnamon or something.
I always thought they tasted like honey cardboard.
It's good.
No.
I was a mad. I liked them. I would never go and pick them, but if they were around, I'd eat them.
I'm going to eat them out of a cup. Number three, these are my personal favorites. Everybody, remember this song?
Frosted Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
See, that's the kind of cereal that my Aunt Sylvia had that I would just, when I go to her house, I would look up at the cabinet, and the next morning I wake up and I'd put these in a cup and I would eat all the marshmallow charms first and then leave like the bread little cereal last because that was actually my favorite. Save the best for last. Number two, Anthony A., it's your cereal, Cinnamon Toast Crunch.
Rightfully so. It's at least top three in every single list.
But the number one cereal, no one even comes close. Do you recognize this bee right here?
How about some Honey Nut Cheerios?
Okay, definitely not my favorite, but I will eat some Honey Nut Cheerios. And they sell a total of $656 million worth of boxes of Honey Nut Cheerios every year in America.
I'm going to have to go out there and say I think that most of them are consumed by babies because they have no choice.
All right. Your favorite cereal. You're on a desert island. You get one box. What is it? This debate continues online right now at Dana Cortez on Instagram, Facebook, Dana Cortez Show. Go comment with your favorite cereal.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.
Woo! Ooh, yes. You did it!
My voice is too deep to do the woo. It really is.
Welcome to the Dana Cortez Show, my girl Smorza.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Oh my gosh, it was so wonderful to have you here. It always is.
Thank you.
But, you know, I've been such a fan for years. I don't want to fan out because when you're doing an interview, you're not supposed to fan out. But I have been. And now that I feel like we've known each other for a minute.
I know, and I follow you on Instagram.
I follow you too, girl.
You know,
so,
it's like, you know, when you follow people on Instagram, it's like,
your friends.
I know her.
Yes. Yeah, I know her.
So I wouldn't know Smore don't follow us over here.
She knows. She follows me. Oh, and what? I follow her.
I'm the only one. Right.
She follows you. Yes. She had to unfollow you because of all your trickery on there.
Yeah, probably.
But I look at you and I see how strong you are. How do you do that? I know that's a weird question.
You just do it.
Okay, how? But how? Because you enter a room with confidence. When you post, you're confident. Everything you do is with confidence. Has it always been that way for you?
Well, let me think. I don't know. I just have this, like for me, I like in my mind, even as a kid, like I always have this thing, like I felt special. I felt special in my hood. I felt special in my family. And I just carried it as so. I mean, that's the best thing I could do. I don't always feel confident, but I am who I am. I can't change it. I do the best I can, and that's it.
I love that. How did your family feel about you feeling special?
Well, they know to get in line, you know. No, I think that they were always supportive of everything I did. And we're like, I'm from a big family, but we're close. And we're supportive of everything. Like, everything each one of our cousins do. First of all, we address each person with a label. It's like Aunt Donna, Cousin Lisa. So everybody has a title. Everybody has a title.
That's how Mexican families are. Yeah, Maria, yes. Don Pablo. Yeah.
Everybody has a title. And every little thing you do, we're excited about it. So we support each other. So I grew up like that.
I love that because my nana used to tell me things like that. And I didn't believe it. Like, I wasn't always as confident as you are. And I still don't think I'm as confident as you are. I hope some of that rubs off. But a lot of times when people tell you that, you grow into it. But you've already felt that way.
Like, I have a niece. My niece is 8 years old. If you've seen her come into the room, I would make her go back. I'm like, don't ever waste a runway. Like, so she would rewalk this whole thing.
You enter a room.
Right. I said, you enter a room, and when you went in there, you don't ever waste a runway. Like, I make them walk fast, you know, like, just having fun with it.
Do you feel it's important for you to tell younger girls, and of course, the women that are coming up in this industry too,
oh, yeah,
to have that pride and have that confidence. Put your shoulders back.
Well, I think each and every one of us have unique qualities. I think that the more you're tapped into and in tune to who you are, you can tap into that unique quality. And I'm thankful that I found my unique quality earlier in life. And my unique quality was to be able to blend in, to move. I can move in just about any circle I go into.
You're just very comfortable in your own skin. Yes.
I'm very comfortable in my own skin. I know what I like, I know what I don't like, and I adjust within.
But I like what you said right there, because one of the things that she mentioned is she can move when in circles. There's not everybody that can do that. So you're good at the country club and you're good in the hood.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying? Exactly. So there's not
without
a lot of people can
without
do
without compromising my integrity. Meaning, I know what I like. I know what I'm going to do and what I'm not going to do.
I've always wondered this. How did you get into comedy? How did comedy happen for you?
The beginning, girl.
Give me that. Yeah, I really want to hear this story.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I graduated from college. I have a degree in business administration, a minor in mathematics. I love doing math. My father, yeah, I love doing math.
Who says that?
I do math because they always said that women couldn't do math.
Oh, so you were like, I'm going to do some math.
That women can do math. And so my mother was an accountant. My father was an English teacher. My father's also an author. He's a poet. He's a photographer. So all these great things. Education was always important in our family. And so I was educated, but I didn't like school. So when I graduated, I didn't know what I was going to do. I had several businesses. So I was always an entrepreneur. I had a shoe store. I had a grocery store. I had a
Before you graduated?
No, after. I graduated
from
high
school. Okay.
No, I went to college.
And then I started my own businesses.
So right. I was broke. I mean, they weren't like... I wouldn't compete with Macy's or nothing. We didn't have more than we did have. You know, those kind of stores. We got three bags of potato chips.
There's a lot of empty space.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
But you were trying.
Right.
You were trying.
It was struggling. But my happiness is what I was really concerned about. So I was trying all these different businesses. And I mean, I was doing okay. You know, sugar daddy here and there, you know, helping to pay the extras. You
gotta do what you gotta do.
I'm a young girl,
extra bag of chips
right,
in the
extra
store.
Extra bag of chips, right. So I was broke. And I'm saying, okay, if I could do whatever it is I want to do, I have nothing to lose right now. I have nothing. I said, what would I do? And I said, I would be a stand-up comedian if I could just wanted to do anything. I went out and bought a book, and the book still exists today. It's called How to Be a Stand-Up Comedian. I read the entire book. I did exactly what the book said to do. Exactly.
And here you
what
are.
What the book said to do, and here I am.
Really?
It's the honest God truth.
I want you to think about, and I say this
to
people.
But it takes more to it.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
Read a book, and
then,
and all of a sudden.
But what was important to me was that I knew the business of stand-up. That's all I needed to know. The business of stand-up, and then I worked on the craft. And the craft of it was being able to write jokes, and I think I got that because my father was an English teacher. So, yeah, that it worked.
That is an incredible story.
it
reminds me, obviously not exactly, but I always tell people, I tell my daughters, you know, you ever watch that movie Forrest Gump?
Yes.
The moral of the story is, if you do what you're supposed to do, in the end, things come out right.
Things come out right.
You read the book, you learn the business, and as a woman, especially a woman of color, like me being a Latina in this industry, do you feel like it's necessary for everybody in their craft to know the business behind
the
scenes?
Listen, I tell everybody, as an artist, any type of artist that you are, you have to know the business of the business that you're going into. You have to know business in order to do business. And why it's important as an artist is because there's times when I've gone to auditions, right, on auditions, and I don't get the part. As an artist, I just want to cry all day. But as a business person, I know that, first of all, I probably was too tall for the actor. You know, that matters. I probably was too dark for the actor. Or somebody else was promised the part, or, you know, they have a business deal with her company, or, you know, like somebody else, it's deeper than you.
Yeah.
So you have to know that as a business person. Exactly. And move on. But if you go in there only as an artist, you'll be somewhere crying and hate the business and frustrated. You have to know the business of it. So knowing the business of it, that doesn't make it easier, but you understand.
How do you think about these some of these newer young hip hop artists coming up, like the Cardi B's and the Megan Thee Stallions? How do you think they're handling their business? You think it's a good representation?
I don't know. The best thing I can tell people is that, you know, when you're hot and when you're moving, because I had to go through this, when you're hot and when you're moving and they're giving you all of this work,
right?
all of this work, you have to know that they're giving you all of this money because you're young. And it's certain things that you don't know. The best thing you can do as an artist is talk to someone who came before you, because they're going to tell you. Like, as a young comedian, when I went out to Hollywood and I got me an agent, and I'm working. I'm doing all these jobs. And one day I'm sitting up and I'm talking to a comedian that's well established in the game. And right. I found out that he only pays his agent 10%. And I'm paying 15%.
No.
So I'm saying, oh, that's negotiable? He was like, yes.
Got they mine down to 8.
They don't tell you. they don't tell you that it's negotiable. I'm like, oh, really? Bam, that's something I learned. So little things like that, you learn that things are negotiable. And just because people say it's one thing doesn't mean, you know.
And I love the fact that you come in town, you're going to sell your weekend out, and you're always the same person. And that's something else I try to tell people coming into this business. Be nice and be kind. Because what goes up must come down.
Listen, I am so shocked when I see artists that are arrogant. Ooh. It's obviously they don't know.
No.
Because you don't know. I never forget one day, I was about 10 years into the business. I had this tour lined up, and it was like 6 or 7 dates, and it was for my whole summer. It was like $90,000. I'm like, yes, this is
doing it. I'm doing it.
This is getting ready to be hot. One phone call, they called and was like, we're gonna go in another direction. I'm like, oh, what? Wait a minute, who? What? Get these people on the phone. And yeah, and it's just like that. So as an artist, how can you be arrogant? Like, you gotta know that, no.
Treat people as you want to be treated. That's in any business. This business or any business, though.
But especially this business, because we've seen it time and time again, the arrogant people go away very quickly.
People are rude, too. I mean, it's
comics
just not
before
okay.
You giving you advice, too. And, like, along with a lot of your stand-up accolades, your career, movie roles,
and everything.
Like, what I'm most proud of is that I executive produce all my own stand-up specials. I have 5, and I executive produce all of them.
That's hard work.
Yes,
keep
that's
that
hard
money.
Work. Yeah.
She said, yeah, yes. Keep that money.
It's hard work.
So as a executive producer of stand-up specials, right, and an original queen of comedy, with Monique re-bringing up the lawsuit against Netflix, for the discrimination, do you think that holds legitimate weight in your opinion?
I don't know what her deal, how her deal was structured. Like, I have a special that's out right now, and it's The Rain Continues, and it's on Netflix. So I don't know. I don't know what her deal is like. So each individual deal is different. Maybe she felt discriminated. I don't know. But each individual person's deal is different.
Do you feel that there is discrimination within the industry for, people of color, but women in color in general?
Of course. There's discrimination everywhere.
Did you see that some movie executive wanted Julia Roberts to play Harriet Tubman?
Is that not funny? Is that
Girl,
not
it's
funny?
Sad. It would be funny if it wasn't so
That's funny,
sad.
Though. That's funny.
It's funny because she played the mom in Blindside who adopted an African American.
Right.
That was funny to me.
No,
right.
That was Sandra Bullock.
Oh, that was Sandra Bullock.
Yeah. Yeah. You got your wrong white women. You got your white women confused, Anthony A.
But think about think about how I feel as a comedian. Like, I see people have television shows and they have movies, and when it's a funny part, they never go get a female comedian.
Never.
They'll just go get an actress and they'll say, the hilarious. And I'm like, what makes her
like
hilarious?
Funny.
Because y'all wrote something for her to be funny.
Yes.
So y'all say the hilarious. Instead of going to get a female comedian. So I look at things like that. And that to me, that's discriminatory right there.
It is.
That's discriminating our craft.
I think you're still on top, though, because you look at everything in a positive light and you move on and you move on. And you're like, okay, that didn't work out. What's next?
Exactly.
If you just sit there and dwell and whine and cry, you can't force change and you can't make change. You just got to keep climbing that ladder. Okay, that didn't move. I moved to the right or the wrong, left. Or, you know what I mean? You just got to keep doing that.
And then also, you can't hate on the new stuff because it just shows that there's a shift. There's a shift, and sometimes you got to find a way either to get in front of the shift, to move to the side and say, I'm going to sit this one out, or you just find a way to make yourself fall in between the pattern.
One thing we can all be, I mean, change is necessary. Change will always happen.
Change will always happen.
So get ready for it. All right, so tell us a little bit about what's going on in your
life.
Oh, my
gosh.
Now that we got all the cheese.
My life is absolutely fantastic. I, you know, It's absolutely fantastic. I'm excited that the holidays are coming up.
Oh, girl.
Thanksgiving is always pressure.
Do you cook?
You're like me. We I love food. And I can't cook.
That was not the answer. You can't cook?
I can cook. My only problem is macaroni and cheese. I cannot make macaroni and cheese. Last year, I tried.
You got to be able to make macaroni and
cheese. Here's the problem
cheese.
I realized that I've been doing. I've been getting too many people's recipes.
Oh.
And I've been mixing recipes. Last year, I came out with a cheese pillow.
Oh.
It was way too much cheese.
That's worse. People
you could
say
just
extra
cut
cheese.
It with a knife. Ooh. It was that much cheese.
It's a block.
Just a block of cheese.
A block with some pasta.
So I have a little bit of anxiety because I think I'm going to go with Patti LaBelle's recipe this year. And then I called my aunt. I go, yeah, I think I'm going to do Patti LaBelle. She was like, Patti, I can't believe you're going to go with Patti. So I'm like, don't put no more pressure on me. That's it. I'm not calling nobody else. I'm going with Patti this year.
So does everybody in your family take a dish to the Thanksgiving dinner?
No.
Who cooks?
Everybody cooks, and then you go around to everybody's house.
Oh, you go to everybody's house.
And for me, whoever owes me the most money, that's whose house I'm going to. They already know. You already know I'm coming.
You're like, I'm going to take a plate when I leave.
Two plates. Yeah.
Two plates.
I'm going there. Whoever owes me the most money, that's where I'm going.
Who's the best cook in the family?
Wow. You know, we go by breast size in my family, so I think my cousin Cecile is probably the best. My cousin Cecile, she can
what
cook stuff.
What size bra is she?
She's like a double G. I think she cooks stuff that no young person should be able to cook. She cooks like rutabagas. Like, who cooks rutabagas?
What is a rutabaga?
I have no idea.
It's a
vegetable that comes out the ground. So she makes rutabagas, things like that.
Who's the worst cook in the family?
Worst cook in the family has to be my Aunt Barbara. She has no children. No. Aunt Barbara can't make me nothing.
Oh,
nothing.
Not Aunt
Barbara. She don't got any practice. That's why.
Samore, thank you so much for stopping in here.
Thank you. You
are always so beautiful and so real, and I just admire you so much.
Thank you. Y'all come out and see the show this weekend.
It is so funny.
And you know, as an artist, I'm always nervous because I love what I do, and I think that you should never take your audiences for granted. You should write new material.
Nice.
And I taped a special like 2 years ago. It came out last year. And whenever I do a special, like it's always pressure to write new material.
Yes.
I didn't even think that I could come up with new material. Like I was always stressing, but this set is so funny. I love it. Y'all come out, see the new material. Let's laugh. Have a great weekend. Stand up live this weekend. One show Friday night, two shows Saturday night, one fabulous show on Sunday night. I brought sequins, I brought feathers, I brought diamonds, I brought lashes. Baby, did I bring lashes? Everybody wear your lashes, your big lashes this weekend.
The Dana Cortez Show Podcast.
So Dana, how do you do during the holiday?
I cook my
She's a
own.
Good cook.
I'm a good cook. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that I'm the only
no
good cook.
No meat though, right? You still no meat?
No,
you
I
do,
eat meat. I
you do meat,
meat. Girl.
Oh, you do?
I cannot live without meat, but I don't eat a lot of meat anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Cause I'm getting older. It's harder to process.
Yeah.
I'm serious.
You don't eat any meat?
I remember you telling us that. So I'm a good cook. Automatic doesn't cook.
No.
My daughters are going to be, two of my older daughters are spending Thanksgiving somewhere else, so they're not going to help me cook. So it's just me cooking. And I'll cook 7 courses, and it's just 3 of us. I love to cook.
Right.
I just don't
you
have
make
time.
Make macaroni and cheese?
I make mac and cheese. I make quiche. I'll do, you know, appetizers. We'll do Brussels sprouts with bacon and onion.
I like
I'll
a little Mexican
dressing.
Infusion into
yeah,
this.
Yeah, I'll do red chile and green chile, mashed potatoes. I do it all. You should come by if you're in town one day.
This is the time of year right here, right?
Bring your mac and cheese.
Listen, you know I got to do a test run. And that's the thing, too. I do a test run before Thanksgiving just to see. But you can't wait till the day of.
Yeah.
You know what you could do some more? This is just between us. Why don't you just order it from one of them real nice 5-star pinches and just take it and say, look what I did.
I've done that already. I'm done with that.
Oh, they know? They know already.
They know, yeah.
All right.
I got to do it. Not just for me. I got to learn. I have to learn how to do this.
But how many recipes have you done?
Oh, my God.
So many you're on to the Patti LaBelle recipe.
No idea. People are inboxing me. They're like, some girl was like, honey, all you got to do is whatever you got, throw some Velveeta in that. Like, listen. See, that's the problem, listening to too many people.
Yeah.
You put sour cream in yours? No, you don't.
I do not put sour cream. I do mine. It's Mexican. It's a Mexican style. There's a garlic. There's onion. There's tomatoes. There's
a little crunchy on top.
Tomatoes. I know. It sounds crazy.
I've never had that.
It's really good. Ask him.
It's good.
It's like a salsa.
It's all together.
It's like a little bit of tiny bit of tomato.
Just for flavor.
She cuts them up like
so thick.
Yeah.
Just a little bit. And 3 different kinds of cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to brown the mac real good.
What's your cheeses?
Did I tell her?
Go, tell me.
Okay, you do cheddar cheese.
Cheddar.
You do Mexican cheese. Asadero.
Never heard
Gotta
of it.
Gotta do a little asadero. See, I never heard of that ruba either that your sister makes. And then you do a little Colby. And you just mix it all in there. And if you want to get fancy, you can put some truffle, but I'm not like that. But if I'm you want truffle. To. I'm not a truffle person. You want me to send you the recipe? You want a Mexican Thanksgiving?
See, now you get ready to make me mess all the way up.
Now you're like, never
mind. Patty with Dana's. It's a pillow with tomatoes in it.
Yeah, now you're like, what?
Mexican cheese.
You show up with a mask. People are like, what is this? I don't know. We had soup pie yesterday at the office party.
Soup pie.
Somebody made pie.
Yeah, but it was actually kind of tasty.
Yeah. She didn't let it
pie
sit long
they had
enough.
A pie contest yesterday, and the chocolate pecan pie actually won.
Yeah.
Chocolate pecan.
It was so good, girl. I'm not even going to lie. I love you, girl. I'm so
Thank you. I appreciate y'all for having me.
I'm always excited.
We love seeing you.
They said support. And then, hold on. They said, she can't be here at 8. I said, that's okay. Anybody else would have been like, why not?
She's coming.
She got to get ready.
Yes.
The Dana Cortez Show podcast.